All right. Hello and welcome to this talk about HTML5 validation with HTML Validate. My name is David Svensson. I'm from Sweden and I work as a senior full stack developer. I've been in the business for roughly 20 years, and for these past few years I have been working mostly with governmental websites. This talk will be about HTML validation and why it matters. I'm going to talk about a tool I've written called HTML Validate and how we can use it to validate our code. I'm going also to talk about single web page applications with custom components and lots of JavaScript frameworks. So, why does HTML validation matter? That answer will be different depending on what stakeholders we talk about. And I think it's very important that we see that there are different points of views here. On one end, we can see end users, and on the other side, we can see developers. In between, we will also have machines, browsers, etc. And we will also have the business point of view. So, to start, we have the end users, and well, they per se don't care about validation at all. But what they do care about is having working websites and applications, and they want a consistent experience. So even if they switch a device or if they upgrade the device, they still want it to continue to work just as before. They also care about accessibility. And now, you might be thinking that, I don't need accessibility. That's not part of my target audience. But accessibility, it's not just black and white. We have a gray scale here. And depending on what metric we're using, as many as 1 out of 10 might have a disability. Now, this metric will be skewed by your target audience, of course, so it's very hard to put a number on it, but we still have to consider that some users will have disabilities such as attention disorders or dyslexia or color blindness. And sometimes it can affect all people. Like if it's a sunny day on the beach and you are trying to read on your phone, well, the color contrast will be worse than if you're sitting in a regularly lit room. Or if you're in a very crowded and loud environment and you are stressed, well, then your cognitive skills can be affected. So, when you're dealing with accessible web pages, you will come across web content accessibility guidelines, and those very clearly state that we must have a valid document, otherwise it's not considered accessible. So, at the end, validation matters for end users because when we have valid documents, we know that this code will actually work as intended on all devices and across all upgrades and so on. Then we have the machines. And with machines, I'm mostly talking about browsers itself. But we also have search engines, or we have tooling. Perhaps we have a minification tool that we use when we build and compile the application. So here we're going to start with an example. And well, you can see if you can spot the error here. This is a real life example. It was written by a senior developer at my current employer. This code, it passed the review in the pull request. It passed quality assurance, and it was actually deployed to production as well. Now, unless you're well versed in the HTML standard, this won't be obvious. Maybe if you're a junior developer, then you will have an easier time spotting this error. But if you have previous experience in HTML4 or XML, this is not intuitive at all. It's quite hard. If you said that, the problem here is that the address element cannot, it's not allowed to be used in a paragraph. Well, then you get half a point. You're not wrong, but that's not really the issue here. There is something else going on here. So, if we instead look at how the browser will see this, I mean, this is the original source code as it was written, just obfuscated a little bit. But if we take this code and we run this in the browser and we open DevTools and we inspect it, it will look like this instead. And we will immediately spot that, okay, there is something different here. We have an extra line somewhere, for instance. But we can also see that the paragraph element, it has been closed before the address tag. And we can also spot that there is an extra empty paragraph at the end. And now we can start wondering, why is this? Why did this happen? So let's take a look at what the standard says about the P element. A P element's end tag can be omitted if the P element is immediately followed by an address element. Well, there is a longer list of elements here that has this quirk. But HTML5 has this concept where end tags sometimes are optional and they can be omitted. The paragraph element is one of those. And as seen here in this quote from the standard, when we come across an address tag immediately after the paragraph will automatically be closed. So in this case, what this means in practice is that we cannot nest the address tag like this. Because when the browser will parse address, well, it will say, oh, hey, no, the paragraph, it should be closed here. And that's what we can see on line 4. It has closed the paragraph. But now we will have a follow-up error here because we are still trying to close a paragraph on line 8 in the original source code. And the way the browser will deal with this is that when it come across this extra close tag, it will insert the missing paragraph. So we will get an empty paragraph at the end, one that we didn't want. So, why should we care about this? Because this looked fine. No one discovered an issue, it passed quality assurance, and it was deployed to production. So why should we care? Well, it was fine until it wasn't. So, someone said that, okay, can you make this pop? Can you add some glitter and rainbows and flying unicorns? Okay, well, they didn't actually say that, but they wanted to restyle this contact information a little bit. And the junior developer was assigned this task, and well, we all thought, how hard can it be? Just add some CSS class and some styling, and it will be fine. Some hours of work. But as we can see, when we add the class, and we add the styling, well, the class, it will not cover the address, because the address is not really nested inside the paragraph. Let's switch to VS Code here as well. I'm just going to move some files around. So, there. If I type this same scenario inside VS Code, I add the div, and I add a p, and I add the address. You can see that even VS Code or any editor, I don't mean to pick on this editor specifically because it's the same in many, many other editors as well. It will add the indentation incorrectly like this, and we won't really understand here right away that there is something wrong here. So even the tooling will have issues with this. Okay, so let's keep reading the standard just for fun. So a P element's enter can be omitted if the P element is email followed by an address element, or if there is no more content in the parent element. Well, it kind of makes sense if we buy into the whole thing that end-text should be optional, because if the parent closes, well, of course, the child should be closed as well. And the parent element is an HTML element that is not an A element. Okay, so let's type this out. We have two cases here. We have a div with a paragraph, and we have an anchor with a paragraph. One is legal and the other is illegal. That makes no sense. Well, actually, it kind of does. If you're reading the full specs, you will understand how they are thinking about this. But this, all these rules are very complicated to keep in memory, especially if you're not really used to reading full specifications. And I mean, this situation is kind of complicated because the parent will affect the children, and the children will affect the parent. Quite complicated, actually. This was the paragraph element. Oh, we can just switch and see. If we go here, and this is the actual standard, and we can read this same sentence again, and here we can see that this is the full list of elements. And keeping track of all this, that's basically impossible. The P element is, of course, one of the most common elements that we use. And that's how complicated it is. We can look at a different element. This is probably not very common here in Europe, but we have the Ruby element. It's used in Eastern Asian languages to add annotations to characters, most commonly used for pronunciation guidelines. And this element, it is quite complicated. We can just switch to the specification right away. Okay, I forgot to scroll up. Let's see here. Here, the Ruby element. And as for the content model, I would usually expect to see just a short sentence describing what it is. Yeah, short like we saw with the paragraph elements, of course. C pros. Okay, so the content model for this element, it's so complicated that it cannot be described with just a single sentence. First of all, we have this large wall of text here describing part of the content model. Now, if you scroll past all these examples,